It's beautiful, beautiful. Okay, now. You know, one day I'll figure all this out. I don't, you know. if you would, turn your scripture to Psalm 89. We're going to read this morning from the first four verses of this great psalm. Psalm 89, and I'll read this for us and see what the Lord will have for us this morning. A maskil of Ethan, the Ezrahite. I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever. To all generations I will make known your faithfulness with my mouth. For I have said, loving kindness will be built up forever. In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David my servant, I will establish your seat forever and build up your throne to all generations, Selah. Beloved, this is the word of our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for that, what has been done this morning in your worship service. We thank you for the music that was sung about our Savior, your Son, Lord, and we praise you that we can come to you this morning in his name. We pray now that you would just take the word that you've given to us, speak to our hearts this morning, Lord, as you are faithful to do by your Holy Spirit. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let me ask, have you ever asked for something, and instead of giving exactly what you asked for, you're giving something much more? Now, with Christmas coming up, I'm assuming there are a lot that would like to see that, right? David the king had conquered Palestine. He had firmly established his kingdom. But David wanted something more. David wanted to build a temple by which to worship his Lord and Savior in. That's what he wanted. And the Lord said to David, I don't need you to build me a house, but I will build a house for you. And God made a promise to David. He made a covenant with David that reached beyond David's wildest expectations. What I'd like for us to do, if you would, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7. I want to read this passage to us. This is a pivotal passage in all the scriptures, this promise that God has made to David. 2 Samuel chapter 7, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 8. In this passage, the prophet Nathan speaks the word of the Lord to David. I want you to listen very closely to what the prophet says. 2 Samuel 7, beginning in verse 8. Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all of your enemies from before you. I will make you a great name, like the names of the great men who are on the earth. I will also appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, that they may live in their own place and not be disturbed again. Nor will the wicked afflict them any more as formerly, even from the day that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Now listen to what he says. The Lord also declares to you, the Lord will make a house for you. When your days are complete and you lay down with your fathers, I'll raise up your descendant after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He will build a house for my name, and I will establish a throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him, and when the rod of men and the strokes of men, the sons of men, but my loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed before you. Now listen finally. Your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. Now what's happening here? And the Lord is saying to David, You will not build a house for me, which one day can be torn down by men, but I will build an eternal house for you that will last forever. This is God's covenant promise to David. In other words, he's saying, by this eternal covenant, from your line will come the king who will rule and reign not only over Israel, but over all creation forever. This is the promise, this is the covenant that Almighty God has made with David. And the psalm we just read bears testimony to this great covenant, which one day, almost 1,000 years from the time that this was written, would be realized in a little town of Bethlehem when Jesus of Nazareth was born. What I'd like to do just for a few moments is take these four verses that we have just read and walk through these as we see as the Lord would give to us this morning. Look again at Psalm 89 beginning in verse 1. The Lord says, I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever to all generations. I'll make known your faithfulness with my mouth. For I have said, loving kindness will be built up forever. In the heavens you will establish your faithfulness. Now what's interesting about this psalm is that it was written during a time of great difficulty in the nation of Israel. And our pastor pointed this out last week. God promised to David that from his descendants would come an eternal king. But he also promised for those kings who came from the line of David, if they refused to obey the word of God and refused to repent, that God would bring his rod of correction upon them to bring repentance. And God used the surrounding nations of the nation of Israel to use his rod of correction to get their attention. That's what the Lord has done. And the psalmist points this out in verse 30. If his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgments, if they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes, but I will not break off my loving kindness from him. Do you hear that? Nor deal falsely in my faithfulness. Now, beloved, let me just say this. The chastening of the Lord is never easy. But let me say this also. As the children of a holy God by faith in Christ alone, his chastening is absolutely necessary in our lives. On more than one occasion, on many occasions, during a time of chastening with one of my sons, I've told them that it's a mark of my love that I bring this correction upon you. Now, whether they believe that or not, I don't know, but that was the truth. It's based upon my love for you, right? That I bring this time of chastening to your little life. And I said, you know, that's what being a member of our household entails. See? As children, beloved, of a holy God, as children of a holy God, his greatest desire for us is to work the likeness of Christ into our lives. That's what he wants for us. That's what he desires for us. That's his will for our lives, okay? And when we decide to live in times of rebellion, when we refuse to obey the word of God, what will he do? He'll bring his rod of correction to draw us back to himself. Why? Because we're part of his family. And that's what it entails to be a member of the family of God. Psalm 46, how long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? Will your wrath burn like fire? Remember what my span of life is, for what vanity you have created for all the sons of men. What man can live and not see death? Can he deliver his soul from the power of Sheol, Selah? Again, 49, the psalmist says, where are your former loving kindnesses, O Lord, which you sworn to David your faithfulness? Remember, O Lord, the reproach of your servants, how I bear in my bosom the reproach of many people, with which your enemies have reproached, O Lord, with which they have reproached the footsteps of your anointed. The chastisement of the Lord is not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. Let me ask, Has there ever been a time in your life where you feel like the Lord has just forgotten you? I heard somebody say yes. It's been my case. It feels like, it seems like the Lord has forgotten us. The psalmist cries out, "How long, O Lord? Will you hide your face from me forever?" he says. "Don't you know that my life is short? Where are you? Where are you in all this? Where is the faithfulness that you promised to David?" That's what the psalmist cries out. That's what he says. You can hear, you can feel in his voice his longing to see his Lord, to feel his comfort. And let me just say this, truly. In the midst of our chastening, which we've all gone through as the children of God, in the midst of our difficulties and trials, which we will endure as long as we live upon this earth, God is faithful, according to his promise, for his children to work all things in our lives for his glory and for our good. He's faithful. That's what he does. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And so in the depths of his grief, as the psalmist sings and cries out, he's able to sing. Despite the fact that he's in a period, the whole nation is in a period of God's reproach, of God's correction, he can still sing and cry out of the loving kindness and faithfulness of his Lord, of Yahweh, of the God of the covenant. Why? He can sing because in his loving kindness, God has bound himself to his people. We have not bound ourselves to him. He has bound himself to us. In his loving kindness, in his faithfulness in Christ. The psalmist sings because the truthfulness of God's covenant is based upon his own character. And the psalmist can sing because the Lord is faithful to accomplish all that he has promised to do. Why? Because he can do no other. He's Almighty God. Indeed, a descendant will come from David whose kingdom will be established for how long? Forever. Verse 3. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David, my servant. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David, my servant. Let me ask you another question. How much, truly, how much of the Word of God do you truly believe? Good, all of it. Do you really? Do we really believe the Word of God in its totality? You see, the beautiful thing about this word, God's covenant with David was not his first covenant promise. It was not his first promise. Again, our pastor made mention of this not too long ago. Genesis 3. Right after Adam and Eve sinned, what did God do? He promised that the seed of the woman would come and crush the head of the enemy, the head of the devil. Genesis chapter 12, God made a covenant promise with Abraham that from his descendants would come one with whom the whole earth would be blessed. Genesis 12. Genesis 21, Isaac, the son of promise, was born to Abraham. And God reaffirms with Isaac his covenant promise to Abraham. Genesis 25, Jacob is born to Isaac. And God reaffirms with Jacob his covenant promise to Abraham. And then from the end of Genesis until the time of David, God brings forth from Jacob 12 tribes who become the great nation of Israel. And God brings that great nation out of captivity in Egypt. He implants them. He puts them in the land promised to whom? To Abraham. And then he took from the sheepfolds, in the course of time, according to his perfect timing, a little shepherd boy named David. And he made him the great king of Israel. And God makes a covenant with David to raise up from his descendants, from his line, an eternal king. This king will come from David's house, the one who's promised to Abraham, the one whom God promised one day would crush the head of the enemy. All these things accomplished and done by the word of God. Do you see that? All this accomplished by the word of God. Verse 28, my loving kindness I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall be confirmed to him. So I will establish his descendants forever and his throne as the days of heaven. God's covenant promise. Verse 34, my covenant I will not violate, nor will I alter the utterance of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, he swears by his own character, I've sworn by my own holiness, I will not lie to David. His descendants shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever like the moon. And the witness in the sky is faithful. Selah. That's a good point to rest and think about, isn't it? God's promise. Now, here's an interesting point. How did David respond to this? God made this promise to David. How did David respond? How could he have responded? You know, he could have said, well, that sounds pretty good, but we'll see. It sounds pretty good, but we'll see. But that's not what David said. Let me read to you what he said. In 2 Samuel 7, verse 21, David says, for the sake of your word, for the sake of your word, and according to your own heart, you have done all this greatness to let your servant know. For this reason, you are great, O Lord God. For there is none like you, and there is no God beside you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. David believed the word of God. Jesus said, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the word of Christ. Do we believe in the word of God? Finally, verse 4. I will establish your seed forever and build up your throne to all generations. I will establish your seed forever and build up your throne to all generations. John chapter 18 records that at the end of his life, when Jesus had come to Jerusalem to give himself up for his people, and he stood before Pilate, and Pilate asked Jesus, he says, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would be fighting, so I would not be handed over to the Jews. But he says, my kingdom is not of this world. And then interestingly, Pilate asks again, so you are a king? So you are a king? And Jesus said this, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born. For this I have come into the world to verify, testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. He was a king. One of the most startling addresses to Jesus recording in the Gospels came as Jesus was leaving a little town called Jericho to come to Jerusalem, and a blind beggar named Bartimaeus cried out to him. We're all familiar with Bartimaeus. But if you would, let me read to us this exchange between Bartimaeus and Jesus. This is recorded in Mark 10, beginning in verse 46. And listen to how Bartimaeus approaches Christ. Okay? Mark 10, beginning in verse 46. They came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, he said, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out. I love this about him. He kept crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and he said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, stand up. He is calling for you." And so little Bartimaeus, he's sitting in the dirt on the ground begging. And when Jesus calls him, what does he do? He throws aside his cloak. He jumps up and he runs to Christ. In answering him, Jesus said this. He looked at him and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to Jesus, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." And immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. So as Jesus was leaving Jericho for Jerusalem and his crucifixion, blind Bartimaeus called out to Jesus in a way that's really not very often used in the Gospels. For what most people were blind to the fact that Christ was not only the great king, the king of Israel, the king of all creation, blind Bartimaeus knew exactly who Christ was. He knew exactly who Jesus was, and he cried out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Now that's a pretty good prayer. Have mercy on me. Here's a man who knew who Christ was. Here's a man who knew how to cry out to his Savior. I conclude with this. Again, we think about Christ and the richness of his life and who he was and what he did. It's interesting that Jesus most often referred to himself not as the Son of God, but as the Son of Man. He referred to himself as the Son of Man. And this is not a direct reference to his humanity, although certainly he was a man in every respect, but this was a direct reference to the vision given to Daniel regarding the Son of Man, the eternal King who was to come. That's how Jesus referred to himself, Son of Man. And the vision given to Daniel goes this way. "I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like the Son of Man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days, and he was presented before him, and he was given a great dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed." You see, even as Jesus was being born in the most lowly circumstances in this world, in that little manger, even as Jesus lived a life on this earth with no possessions to call his own, even as Jesus died on the cross, as God poured out his wrath upon him for your sin and for my sin, he did so as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is our Savior. He is our King. And just, beloved, as he was born, the Son of David in that little manger, one day he will return as the Son of God to rule upon this earth forever. That's our Lord. And that's the covenant promise made to David, not only to him, but to us as his church, as his people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the God of the covenant. You are the God of your promise, because, Lord, you can do no other. You are faithful in every respect. Lord, I pray as Christmas approaches that, Lord, we remember fervently that, Lord, your promise to bring a king has occurred. Your promise to bring one as a savior of his people, you have accomplished. And Lord, we look now to that final day when he returns again to claim what is rightfully his, to rule and reign upon this earth as our Lord and as our King. Pray, Lord, you take your word, apply it to our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.